We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you this morning. We honor you this morning, Lord. Yes, Lord, you said, now unto you shall the gathering of the people be. We are not gathered to any man. We are not gathered for anything social, Jesus. We are gathered here because we want to receive of you, compassionate Savior, the one who can look on us, who can look on us and bless us. Jesus, you knows that which we need even at this time. You who knows what we need to connect the blessing that you have. We look to you, we fix our gaze on you, and we just ask that, Jesus, you will take over this morning. That you will take over this morning. You will take over our hearts. You will take over everything that will be done here, Lord Jesus. Everything will be done to the praise and glory of your Father in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Sabranta vayar boshta kema hasta franta lama tefia supranta laba papa poshta prehata kekefinta li sapranta liana masse vrente le benaste gante yara rosha fefanta. Thank you, Father. Pranta labate. Thank you, Pante fenata pranta laba regedegedosha pranta vana keniasta menahasta preganota. Veveveni, veveni, veveni, vavana, vina, vana, vena, vana, vata, alianta, pata. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, prata. It's a season. It is a great season of blessing. It is a great season of blessing. It is my season. It is my time. It is my time. It is the time of my reigning. It is the time. It is the time of great blessing. It is the time of great outpouring. It is that time of great blessing. My time where I want to begin to bless with myself. I want to begin to bless with my teens. I want to begin to bless and bless with myself. And bless with myself. And bless with my person. And bless with my spirit. My spirit, with my spirit, with all of my spirit. It is the time. It is the time of the ministration of blessing, the time of the ministration of the throne. It is my time. It is my time. It is time where le push the vanta lebata, where men will begin to turn from things that don't matter to begin to look unto my things which are matter, which are things that matter. And paso precati, for this blessing is the blessing of the throne, for you to begin to train, to begin to reign, and to begin to live by the throne, to begin to take the things that matter, to begin to take my things, to begin to take and begin to live by weightier matters, to begin to live by my things. I am opening this blessing, these blessings of my things, of my things, of my person, of my spirit, of my spirit. I am blessed. I am blessing with my spirit. Come into my spirit. Open your heart. Open your mind. Open your heart. Open all of you. Lay aside things that hinder you, but come. Come as you are. Come and be blessed with my spirit. With my spirit. With my spirit. With my matter. I want you to begin to have matters of me. Mind my things. To begin to mind my things. For I am your Father, and you ought to be after my business. For yet, either though you have gone after other businesses, but I am the one that has life and that has it more abundance, in more abundantly. So I am come to you that you begin to carry my matter. They will begin to weigh upon your heart. So come, come and receive blessing, blessings of my matters, blessings of my things, blessings of my spirit. My spirit, it's this time of outpouring, outpouring of my spirit, of my spirit. I'm pouring things, things that made and finished up Jesus, even those things that made him sit at the right hand, even of the majesty on high. So you ought to come to join him, to join him, for you are his body, you are his body. It is for the body, it's the blessing for the body. For come to body, come to your head, come to your head, and blessing for to come to head, blessings for to come to head, blessings of the head is flowing, even now. It's opened. It is open. The blessings of the head is flowing down. It's flowing down. So receive. Open your heart and receive and receive and receive and begin to mind my matters. Begin to chase my matters and come into my matters. Own my matters, for these are your inheritances. These are your blessings. These are the blessings that I've given you. So come into your inheritance. Come even into your inheritance. Come into your inheritance, for it's a season of great blessing. It is a season of great blessing. It is a season of the throne. Branta alabasa branta viara bosh to pranta viara rosa kekevanta prahanta elevenashti pranta vihosa pranta liara basetani ananosta evenata kekekepanta keli ananata ezevena isovra ezeveni sevrente mia sovrenta liana masu brenta labanata Even I, the angel of the Lord, even I, the angel of the Lord, I am here in your midst. Even I, the angel of the Lord, from the Lord who is on the throne, I am here in your midst. I am here in your midst. I am here. I am here. I am here. Even for to help you. 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 For to help you to come even into your inheritance. I am here to help you. To help you. For it's the time of our ministration. It is the time that we ought to begin to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. So even I, Michael, the angel of the Lord, I am here for to help you, for to help you, for to help you to minister and to come even into your inheritance, to come even into your inheritance. It is I, and I want you to know you are not few, for greater and many are there with you than you know, than you know, than you know. Look even into the spirit and you will see great helper, you will see great helper, you will see great helper, for many, 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 many are with you than you know. So do not lose hope. Do not lose faith. Stand strong. Stay tall. Stand in the grace of the Lord Jesus and stand in the power of his might for to take your inheritance. For we are here to help you to minister and even to take your inheritance.
Amen. Lord, we look to you this morning. Thank you. Thank you for how you have started helping us. Thank you for so much presence. Thank you, Lord, for help that you have sent to us this morning. We just pray, Lord, that that which you want to achieve, Lord, that by mercy it will be done in our midst in Jesus' name. I pray that no one will go back the same way they've come, but that very thing that you want to deposit in us, Lord, that we will connect it, we will receive it, we will go on with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. I'm just trusting that God, who I know that wants to speak to us, to speak to us. And I really, really pray. You know, God can do way more than any man can do. So there's a way that the Lord, even with whatever it is that I want to say, he would be able to minister more. And that's what I want you to trust God for this morning. Not to trust maybe even in necessarily what will be said, but in just what the Holy Spirit will also show you as the words are coming. If we can just open our Bibles to John chapter 10. Just going off of prayers this morning. Like I said, I really, really thank God for how God used those that led prayers this morning. And I know one of the emphases this morning during the prayers was just to see that thing of... Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. That thing of prosperity of our souls. And I believe that thing is very important. And I think Pastor Tolu said something about that the real place... I think he was referencing John chapter 14. And I think Jesus was saying, where I am, there you might be also, right? So I think it was likening it to that prosperity of how our souls should prosper till we arrive at where God is. That's one of the desires for this season, and that's why the ministry of the throne is coming to us. And again, maybe just taking bits and pieces of what we've been able to gather for Canada for Global Believers Convention. I know how many of us are excited. We know convention is starting tomorrow. I think Pastor Tomoa was leading, he was praying towards the end of Wednesday, and one of the things he was just saying that God will help our hearts to be able to fall into that place that we need to be to capture the blessing that God has for us. So just going off of that, where I just find steady in my heart to start is a scripture that has been read from prayers. Just start John chapter 10, verse 10. So me too, I'm just here to prepare the way really for... person that will come and give us the blessing. I mean, not to use minister of the covenant this time, but okay, so scripture says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy.
I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One of the things Pastor Tolu was saying this morning, right, is that he can come with those things, right, and we might not be able to, you know, profit or receive those things. And that's why we're praying, importantly, that the ministry of our Lord Jesus at this time, which when Jesus is coming with our ministry anyways, is considering all of us at different places that we should desire it, right? But this scripture is very, very, very interesting. So maybe we'll just look at a few things here. So Jesus, one key commission that we know he has is this thing of giving life, right? And this is also that thing of life. Just in my heart this morning, just looking at it, I realized that the subject matter of life is also one of the most mysterious or easily misunderstood or, shall I say, diminished topics that we have met even as we've come into this world. It's very, very elusive, right? For example, if I ask you now, do you have life? Nobody's answering. Are you alive? You're alive? Okay. So in a way, we have life in our bodies, right? Okay. So clearly, when Jesus was speaking here, we can infer that he wasn't necessarily talking about that only, right? He says he has come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, there are different concepts that even transcend the way we even look at physical life as our definition of life, right? I don't have Pastor T's grace maybe of making people laugh or all those things, but maybe just on a light note, for example, you know, you hear things like chop the life of your head, all those kind of things, you know, jayoria, you know, all those kind of things, right? You know, you're chopping life, you're enjoying life. So it almost feels like there is a sense of what something that life is, right? But Jesus is saying here that he has come that we might have life. And then he calibrates what life is. But you know, this morning, another interesting scripture that I now even saw was, I think it's somewhere in Revelations. If we can just go there quickly. It's just one thing I'm seeing in my heart, just one thing that I'm hoping that it will bless us in Jesus' name. Where is it? Lord have mercy. The part where it talks, okay. Revelation 13:14 says, and deceived them that dwell on the earth, that by the means of those miracles, so it's talking about I think the beast here, that by the means of those miracles, right? Which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, right? And which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What I'm just trying to show here is, so there's also another person that has the power to also give a kind of life, right? So I guess the first thing I'm just seeing is to for us to have a quest of what this thing of life really is, and particularly the calibrations of life that are in Jesus. Because the way I see life, honestly, is, and I might be wrong, I submit it to all of you, but the way I see life is more like an output of different systems that are working, or different things that are, there's a complex interplay. So life is never really like maybe one thing. There are many things that cause some sort of life to come out, right? So here, like I'm saying, there were different things that had happened before he said he also had power to give life to this beast. So that means that life is not just L-I-F-E or whatever it is. Life is actually something very specific in the heart of God. Or when Jesus is saying, for example, I have come that ye might have life, he's actually referring to something very definite. It's not open-ended. You understand? It's not just left for interpretation. So that means that there should be some sort of help. And of course, when he says that I am come that they might have, knowing our Lord, I think there are different parables that says, maybe for example, if your neighbor needs something at night and he comes to meet you, don't tell him that come back tomorrow and then you will give it to him. But if you have it right there and there, you will give him that thing. I don't know. Sorry, I don't want to read that scripture. You know, that kind of thing. So it's not like when Jesus is saying, I am come that he might have life. It's not that Jesus cannot just maybe carry all the life and just throw on you. I'm just trying to show you that if scriptures are written that way to show something in God, it means that really, 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 if the life that the Lord wants to give, sorry, I'm not teaching life. I'm just trying to say many things to arrive at something. So just if you can follow the thoughts, sorry, because God will just help us this morning. Uh-huh. So what I'm just trying to show is that, where was I? Life. Okay. Sorry, can someone remind me? Okay, the parable. Thank you, sir. Exactly. So that's what scripture was saying that was like, I think it was the Lord that was telling him, that was talking about that thing, about if someone comes to knock, just give it to them. Like, don't hold back, pretty much. So what I'm trying to show is, and even from God's nature, we know that he doesn't hold back. God is actually very lavish. God does not give you something miserly, right? So if all of these things can be given to us right away, right there and there, nothing will stop heaven from doing it. So the problem is just heaven can have plans, God can have plans, right? But it's the recipients of those things that need to make adjustments. So here, it's very clear that they could not receive all of what Jesus was bringing. However, they could receive some in different measures, because even though life is like a cap that comes on something, right? If different signs or different elements are being ministered, in a way too, it's also like you're coming into measures of it. For example, a pregnant woman, right? Yeah, when the first thing happens, there is actually life there, but in the fullness of what life means, even as we know it in the physical, that baby does not really have the fullness of what life consists, because there are still many elements missing. So I started with that to just say that when conversation of life, for example, is coming, they are referring to something very specific. Now, we know, we've been taught, you know, by mercy through our different servants of God that we are connected to in many ways, that this thing here, they are actually calibrations. Praise God. It says they might have life. So if we maybe connect this to Colossians chapter 2 that was read this morning also, I think, I can't remember who was leading prayers and spoke about that. Colossians chapter 2, where he was talking about those mysteries. He called it the mystery of Christ, mystery of the Father, a mystery of God. So it's almost like the lives are calibrated after these orders. Which life means the mystery of, will be the end of the mystery of Christ, right? Then, of course, we've been taught that if he went from life to life more abundantly, so we know that there's abundant life somewhere in there, and we've been taught that the abundant life is everlasting life, you know, linking it to the scriptures in 2 Peter, when he was talking about the doors, he referred to it as abundant entrances into the everlasting kingdom. So what I'm just trying to show you is that there are different calibrations of these things. Now, if we zero in into each and every one of them, we can begin to, I don't know, draw out some inferences, right? Let's look, for example, the first life, the life of Christ, which is where Jesus said, I have come that he might have life. That was actually in starting level, as it were. If we can open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everything I'm saying is to make a case for, you know, on Wednesday, God really helped us through Pastor Tolu and Pastor Tomiwa to just bring to our remembrance from different sides, all the things that are being taught, right? But you know, there's just something about, even when all these things are said from different sides, something that should be happening is exactly what we're praying for this morning, which is that thing of some sort of desire, more aspiration to each and everything, not diminishing or minimizing or assuming or leaving anything like that. Because in the realm of what we've been learning, which is the conversation of truth, one thing we also see, so sorry, is Jesus said in that book of John chapter 14 also, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? And he was talking about something very specific, right? And thank you, Jesus. If that in that John chapter 10, in John chapter 10, when he was talking about that thing of, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, one of the things I think I was saying was that life is very definite. In the book of John chapter 5, quickly, thank you, Lord, I think that's what I needed to segue into my thoughts. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 5. Verse 25, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. Then it says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life. So this is part of what I was saying about the definition of what life is, right? That our Lord Jesus himself, when he was speaking at this time in that book of John, when he was saying what he has come for, he was also showing here that there is a way that he himself that is talking also has life, right? But in that book of John chapter 14, which is where Pastor Tomiwa started from on Wednesday, one thing he was showing was that there is a destination to the Father, right? And in that destination, thank you, he says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. And I don't know if you guys remember, he said that there is the way, which is like the preparation for something. And then there is the life, which is really the Father's life, right? But then there is the most important component, which is the truth, right? And we've been taught this period, just opening up the conversation of truth around Matthew chapter 23, when it was describing that the weightier matters of the law, right? Sorry, I'm just going through many scriptures to establish something. It says faith, mercy, and judgment. And Pastor Tolu was showing us on Wednesday that these are the things that we've been taught as some components of truth, because we know that there is still like all truth, right? So Jesus was showing a particular framework of even how to arrive at the Father's life. You understand that kind of thing? So, but going back, what I'm just trying to say is that that thing of life does not just exist. Even if we look at it in the natural, like I was asking, are you alive in your body? You are alive, yes. So in a way, you have life. But for you to have that life, there are many things that must be present. They must be working. They must be firing on all cylinders for life expression to be properly carried out. So if we look at an example, that 1 Corinthians 13, which is just one of the lives. 1 Corinthians 13. Because sometimes, you see, when this thing of truth is being said, or when the Lord Jesus is being spoken about, the heart can grow weary. It's like, this thing, are you stretching it too much? You know, like, does it ever end? But all I just find in my heart to make a case for is for us to see that we need all of these things, and that we should be ready to, like the tongue was saying, lay aside the things that really stop us from receiving all. Because what Jesus wants to give, they are very, very definite. But like Sati was leading prayers, it's not like it's guaranteed that because Jesus wants to do something that you will do it. So our earth or hearts have to align with heaven. So in 1 Corinthians 13, quickly, he was saying something interesting here. Talking about charity, which is an expression of a love of that life, which is Christ. Do we agree? Okay. It went on and on. And then verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunted not itself, and is not puffed up, right? It says, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now, this is a man that in a way is bearing a fruit of a life or has life that can do all of these things. Now, I want to show us something in verse 6. It says that charity man rejoiceth not in iniquity, right? But rejoiceth in the truth. Now, many a times, these are the kind of, when they say rejoiceth in the truth, I don't think that this in the truth is the truth of Christ, per se. Because if you read down, he was talking about when that which is perfect is come. It's almost like at a point from verse 7, there is a change in those verses. Almost feels like after he said that 6, rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. 7, beareth all things, believeth all things. Then 8, you see, it's almost like they cross that thing of all things. It says he bears all things. Now, we've been taught that those realm of all things, they are not really Christ things, as it were. I don't know if this is making any sense, okay? So it says that, it says, endure all things. It says, charity never fails. It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, this is where I'm going. It says, for we know in part. Now, this is a man that has life that is saying this. It says, we know in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, one of the blessings I'm seeing this season is we are being given a lot of mercy to peruse like this arena of truth. Because the end of truth, like Pastor T was saying, is that thing of perfection. And that perfection is a reality. That perfection is actually salvation, or what we've been learning as the everlasting life, right? And Jesus is saying that you can have it. But here we are seeing a man that has come to a measure of life, which we know that this life overcomes the world. It overcomes the lust. It overcomes the pride, right? But then we are seeing that the man actually only has knowledge in part. It is not a full knowledge. So that means that so far that thing is not full. There are pockets where things are hiding. This is why, even as we have prospered as a company with the things of Christ, we have to look further and we must not be tired. Here it says that when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. It says I thought as a child. But it says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. It says, for now we see through a glass darkly, right? But then it says, face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. Now there's a way that man that is doing all of this is known. And these are the things that we are beginning to see now, that when every other thing in the world, we've been able to put away the vanities, we've been able to put away the things that fight our sanctification, are away. There are now things that God sees that the man has issues with. And I believe that was actually a lot of part of what the prayers this morning were about seeing the ministry of our Lord Jesus at this time and understanding the importance of it. Sorry, I'm not cutting ourselves short. Because what Jesus wants to give is very massive, right? Now, let's go back to that place of verse 6. It says there, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I want to stay here for a bit. So that means that this man, when those truths which we've been seeing are opened, he has a different reaction. Thank you, sir. Now, we can bring it home to ourselves, right? What are our reactions when all these things are opened? Things that pertain to faith, mercy, and judgment. You know that thing of life, like I was saying, we must not come to a place maybe where we just assume that we have all these things and that there is no need to go further. But one characteristic here, for example, we are seeing from someone that has life is, even when truth elements are coming, the reaction is a rejoicing. So to tie it back to, let's say, for example, some of the things we've been learning, like we're seeing on Wednesday, Pastor Tomoa was showing us those disciples, which in a way, in a manner, because if I can separate like with the work that happened on Wednesday, right? It was more like Pastor Tomoa was showing the way, right? I don't know if any of us remember the way, because Pastor Tolu was showing us the faith for truth, right? But Pastor Tomoa was showing us the way. And that's why he kept using those disciples and how they've denied themselves, right? But we could not see that even after they had denied themselves and they had gone far, there were still things in them that Jesus was able to show. There were movements that Jesus made that they could not connect. I'm just trying to show that thing. So when, and the way I'm saying it is, even in as we prosper and have this thing of life, right? One thing that will begin to happen, as we've seen, is we begin to have a different sense and we begin to look more into God's things. And that's what you are seeing here. But what I'm just trying to show here is that this man, he has all these things, but there's a gap. That's just what I wanted to show. So now let's go back to that scripture I was reading, which is in John 10. So when Jesus says, I have come that you might have life, it's almost like all these things, they are supposed to mount on each other. So Jesus knew that if I have come to, for them to have life, it's not enough. I don't know if you are seeing my thoughts. He knows. So now when we have life, we are now seeing that, oh, the conversation of the abundant life, which is the everlasting life, has actually been the labor around the house, like Pastor Tomoa was saying. And Pastor Tomoa was really helping us to see that thing about why it looked like the disciples were struggling that way, because they were following an everlasting man, really. A lot of the things we are reading is actually an everlasting man, an everlasting mind that was actually saying those things. So I'm just trying to say, so we have the right context, right? But one thing we're seeing is we have to have help or grace to journey with those things when they are open. Because even our Lord Jesus, all scripture says that it is as the Father had life in himself. That is actually how he has life. When they now x-rayed our Lord Jesus in John chapter 1, what they said is what? He's full of grace and is full of truth. Now what I'm trying to show is that Jesus is full of truth. Or if I can say this, he's full of all the truth. That is why he can carry the life the way he carries it. Do we agree?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now, the way I'm seeing it now is in the heart. Like I said, I'm not here to say anything different from what was said on Wednesday, but just to raise a quest, is now to see, so what are the things that might prevent us from these things, right? You know, in another scripture, when Jesus was before Pilate, one of the things we saw that happened was he said he came to bear witness of the truth, right? And one time, Pastor was preaching. He was talking about the fact that just using that thing of 1 Timothy. I think we've prayed all these things this morning. This morning, I think, I can't remember who was leading prayers also, was talking about that thing of 1 Timothy, showing God's desire that he will have all men to be saved. And they will come to the knowledge of the truth. So there is actually that thing of the truth. And all through the past weeks, a lot of the labor we've been seeing is that there is actually a lot of contention for what this the truth is. But the reason why the contention is there, honestly, is because of what can rest when a soul comes into all of these things. Because we've been taught that these things, they are spirits. They have quantity. You know, in that John chapter 16, he said, when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. So those things, they have like measurements, right? So yeah, Jesus was now talking in that book of Matthew chapter 23. If we can go there quickly. Matthew 23. Thank you. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He says, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. So, we will see that these are the things that really count. Now, in that book of Micah, we read it on Wednesday, right? It's talking about what is required of you, O man. It says, for you to walk humbly with thy God, to love mercy, and to do justly. And we've been taught that these things, that faith, mercy, and judgment, after which, when these things are full, what will rest is the Father's life. Because you see in that book of John chapter 5, that same place we read, when he said, as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given the Son to have life. Then I think towards the end, he now said that the Father loved the Son, and then he committed all judgments. I'm just trying to show us something, that these things, they are actually realities and things that we ought to desire. And there are things that might be there and might not be there. But without all of these things, we can't come to that thing of life. So we need to embrace them. So in this book of Matthew, one of the things we now begin to see is that the Pharisees, they were able to omit these things. But if they are really weighty and they found a way to omit them, the way me I'm saying it is because of other things that, in quotes, are weightier to them. And, you know, when we read of this thing of Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites, we've been taught many times that it was actually a kind of spiritual operation that configured them at this time. Or what I can describe as those things of falsehood, right? So pretty much, it's actually things that are not of God that configured these guys like this. That's just where I'm going. And you know that before we jam these things, I'm so sorry to say, we've interacted with many things. Because, for example, if Jesus is coming to say, I come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly, right? That means they don't have the one Jesus wants to bring, which means they have something else. So that means that whatsoever it is they have was running a different kind of operation. And I feel like this chapter really showed that thing. And one of the things we're seeing about these guys, if we read from that verse 1, is that they loved some certain things. And it culminated the thoughts in their righteousness. That's just where I'm going. So, where is it? Okay, it says, woe unto you, scribe and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Is this the one I'm looking for? Sorry. It says, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye bear witness unto yourselves that ye are the children of them. I'm looking for the part that talks about them being because of their righteousness. Anybody can help me find it. 28? Okay, yes. It says, even ye so outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. So this is just what I wanted to show, that a lot of times what was affecting these people was this thing of their righteousness. Now, We know that also in the calibrations of the Spirit of Truth, one key thing here that is also required is another eye of what is right. And the truth about what is right is it has to be revealed. That's just where I'm going. It has to be revealed per time. That's just what I wanted to show. That what is righteous, or what is God's righteousness. In that book of Romans chapter 1, it says that therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So this righteousness of God is revealed per time by those that are sent to us to speak to us as the word is open, as the Spirit of Truth is coming over the servants of God for them to minister these things. Righteousness of God is being revealed. The thing with God's righteousness is very different from our own. So that's why these things have to be taught, because one of the things that we see with the Pharisees is it was almost like they always fell short. It was a different spirit that configured them that way. So the old thing I'm just seeing in my heart is just this thing of righteousness and with regards to even the blessing that God is bringing this season. You know, in that book of Matthew, and I think God's servant was reading one time, the Beatitudes, right? The first four, they were showing us like different attitudes that we ought to have for the kingdom, right? It says, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I believe that these are things that we ought to desire at this time, even as the Lord Jesus is ministering, because these are things that make up those spirits of truth in their fullness. Because one of the things we are seeing is that spirit of faith, which is the first spirit of truth, one of the reasons why we need it is to believe different righteousnesses in God. But what can happen is when God's righteousness, when that time is now coming, where God's standards and righteousness, of which we are in that kind of season right now, it is possible for the heart to grow weary or to want to use another way. Because the truth is, our own righteousness too, they're actually quite weighty. And God has to help us in this kind of zone. So that's why when the prayers were ongoing and they were saying that we should pray to receive the present ministry of our Lord Jesus, what I'm just saying in my heart is that I don't want any of us to think it lower than what it actually is. Because the things that ministry is coming to solve, you don't actually also know how strong those things are in us. Because for us to be living a different kind of life, if we're not living a different kind of life, in that book of Revelation, they said that they love not their lives unto the death. And one thing I try to establish for us is that life is not just one thing. Life is a function of a way you know, righteousness you have, and judgment you have. This is why all these things, they have to labor for hours. Showing you, for example, when Jesus was confronting those guys in Matthew chapter 5, saying that your law says this, but I say this unto you. Jesus was actually trying to bless them with something else. But is that when those things are happening, like Pastor was saying, you can be like, Jesus, your own is too much. Eh? Or when maybe someone like Daddy is opening things, you can be like, again? But what I'm trying to show is that the things that are really our own things, they are really hidden, and we don't know where they are. But because they sit as righteousness, they are weighty, and we always go around doing them. You know, in that book of Matthew chapter 13, if we can just see an attitude there. This is the charge, really, and this is all I have. Matthew chapter 13, is it 44? It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth and go for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. Then the next one, he described it as a pearl, right? It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, you see that thing of selling all you have, selling all you have. You know, that thing is not really easy. And for you to sell all you have is that you have to, in a way, because everything is exchange, like we've been taught, is that we have to stay, wait for the ministry of the Spirit of Truth, wait for the Holy Ghost to show these things. First, if we cannot stay to show this thing, for them to show these things, there is nothing to trade with, or there is nothing to desire for that trade to happen. So this person, clearly he has been helped. That's why he can find a seed, or he found a pearl, one pearl. I don't know how small that pearl is versus the field, but it gives a sense that that person found something. So it was like a mercy came to the person, but then the person was able to do the next transaction, which is to sell all that you have, right? But you now notice that rich young ruler, for example, could not do that. I don't know if you are seeing it. Why? Because when he came to Jesus, he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Pastor T was saying that this is actually like everlasting life. So in a sense, he wanted, or he had, Isha, he was aware. That's why he could make this case. And then when he came to Jesus, and Jesus told him this, that. Whenever I read this thing, it's almost like, we have done it. What else can I do? And Jesus then told him that, this one thing you lack. He says, sell all that you have and take up your cross, right? And follow me. And then he says, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Those great possessions are usually the weightier things. That's just what I, that's actually just what my label here is. It's just to see that a lot of what is being ministered at this time is for us to be able to, because you know that if God has not helped us to this time, first and foremost, we might not even be able to sit, understand, even be able to transact at any level with the blessings that are coming. So that's actually a great victory. If a lot of things are still disturbing us, right? And that's just God's mercy that brings a company to that state. We might not even be able to hear or understand anything. But is that even when the things of truth are being ministered, there are transactions that ought to be going on. But for us to even be able to make those transactions, we have to, let me say, believe in it, receive the ministry that wants to bring those things to us, receive the ministry that wants to show different things in Jesus that we ought to make covenant with, things that we ought to receive and take. And then as we are seeing those things, the response ought to be a response of surrender and not going away. Now, you notice that sometimes just that acceptance of, Lord, help me, my state, I don't trust it. Or, you know, in that book of Psalm 25, right, it says, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach in his way. But in one of the verses preceding, if you can help me find it, or if I can open it, and this is my last thought. It says, good and upright is he, is the Lord. Therefore, will he teach sinners in the way. Now, these sinners are not just like regular people. Just maybe sins or what less. I don't think this is what he's saying here. Because if you follow the thoughts of this psalm, they are in the way. But the thing is just they are sinners. I don't know if you are seeing it. And what constitutes that thing of sin are the things we've been seeing, which is if something is not of faith, right? And then also our righteousness. You see? So he said it is those people, but it's almost like they've come to a place of accepting. And because of that acceptance of, see, Lord, your standards are the things that we want. They can make that transaction. Now, look at someone like Zacchaeus as an example. He was also a very rich guy. I don't know if you know. Zacchaeus was also quite rich. And Zacchaeus too was a Jew. Now, you can say, of course, they say Zacchaeus was a sinner and all those things. But again, I don't necessarily think Zacchaeus was just like one rough guy or anything. But it's almost like Zacchaeus had a different heart attitude in a time when Jesus was moving. And the moment he encountered Jesus, that's what I want to see. Scripture said that immediately. You now wonder, rich young ruler that has fulfilled all the commandments and all these things. And this one said, I just give all my things straight. Say, Jesus, I get half of my things, I just give it to the poor straight. Is what our righteousness can do. So I just wanted to see that thing of why, like during the prayers they were saying, sorry, I'm just flowing from the prayers, is that when they were saying that we should pray to receive the fullness of the ministry of Jesus at this time, there's a kind of help, a kind of heart that we need to have to stay and actually receive that which Jesus wants to bring. And then in receiving it, we should surrender our own things, and that the Lord will help us to do this in Jesus' name. If we can just respond to the Lord. It's a very simple charge. Just that thing of coming to a state of poverty. If we can just ask the Lord that he will bless us with poverty of spirit, poverty of heart. He will make us meek. He will make us low. He will help us to be able to see our state, to see ourselves. You know, in that book of Revelation, it says that issue, buy of me gold tried in fire. Can we ask the Lord that he will help us at this time to be poor and needy? You know, that song says that he should look on me, for I am poor and needy. Can you ask the Lord that, Lord, if there is any part of my heart that is holding on to anything, even at this time, that I have considered as truth, that you will help me, Lord, to relinquish everything. If we can see our state, there is a different way that we will pursue the Lord. Even as things that pertain to his judgment, as things that pertain to his standards. You know, on Wednesday, they were revealing a particular standard in Jesus. There is a way that the heart, when those kind of standards are revealed, the heart should come very low and exchange again. That should be the reaction, not for us to despise or toss those things away. For every standard that the Lord is revealing, that the Lord will help our hearts to be poor, to be low. When we are poor, when we are low, we will sit and listen. When we are poor, when we are low, we will come to the place where these things are being served. We will not think of ourselves as saved, as high. We will not think of ourselves as having anything. Can we ask God that he will help us at this time? He says he's able to even have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. That the Lord would even have compassion and show us so much mercy at this time to come so low again, so that we can receive the fullness of truth and we can make covenants with them, and so that his life can rest upon us. We thank you, our Lord. We thank you and worship you. We thank you, our Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you because we know you will help our hearts at this time to be meek, to be low, to be meek, to see our state as that is less than yours, Jesus, and to even subscribe to your present day ministry, to have so much interest in that which you are saying, in the righteousness, in the spirit that you want to give, that, Lord, we will come low again and we will receive so much truth from you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen.